Hey, what's going on? No big deal. I'm not going to bust out some crazy intro for this Thanksgiving show. You know, I just figured I'd start. Okay, so what you're hearing right now actually happens, is being voiced on November 24th, 2021. I almost said Merry Thanksgiving. Did you hear me? I went, Happy Thanksgiving to you. You could really throw somebody off if you dropped a Merry Thanksgiving off to them. But I just finished up my day here, drawing out all the racists after the Ahmaud Arbery verdict came down, or the verdict of the three scumbags in Georgia who killed that poor guy. Were found guilty, thank God. Holy shit. After the Rittenhouse thing, if the Arbery trial went like and said, oh yeah, not guilty, I mean, America would have burned. All right. So this is great news. You know, Kazan, you never really talked about the Rittenhouse thing. Well, no, I kind of did. I said he's found not guilty. They couldn't prove anything that guy did anything wrong. To the letter of the law. That's a not guilty verdict, to be sure. You know? But this was just gruesome. This Arbery thing. Oh my God, that poor man. So that's been on my brain today, because then I posted something on Facebook, and then I drew out all the scumbags who were saying shit like Arbery had it coming. I mean, it's remarkable. These are people who comment on my stories, and it's very easy to see where they're from, who they work for, and shit like that. It's like the boldness that these people plant their racist views onto a stupid thing like my dumb page. It was really bizarre. So anyway, that isn't what this is about. I'm just here to explain to you that this show that I have for Thanksgiving and the day after Thanksgiving, I'll have two separate shows. Well, they're real shit. The term best of needs to be abolished. It needs to say things that you might spend time listening to enough to pacify you so that you're not pissed off that I'm not doing a show. That's what we can call it. A bit wordy. Definitely need to work. Woodshed that title of that. But this is not like anything that I would say, oh, you got to hear this. Okay? Because, I don't have the time to sit there meticulously pour over all this shit and figure out what's great and what's not. But I wanted to put something up. So I'm pulling out some stuff from way back. I mean, you could tell it sounded shittier in terms of the quality. I mean, I've improved my equipment since when these were recorded. Not that it was outstandingly terrible in terms of the quality of the equipment that I ran here, but this stuff that I have now is much better. So it sounds like, to me, it sounds like shit. To you, you might be like, it doesn't sound any different. But to me, it sounds like shit. And let me also point out to you this. The stuff I did back then, to me now, sounds like shit in terms of just what I'm talking about, how I'm speaking, my vocal pattern. Am I pushing too hard? Am I not pushing hard enough? Am I talking about dumb shit? Is it boring? You know, just shit like that. I'm my worst critic. I really and truly am. But if you were to go like fast forward a year from now and listen back to this right now, or listen to anything I'm doing right now, I'd say the same thing. I think it all stinks. I'm amazed anybody even listens, but I'll keep putting it out there because, that's what I do. Thank you for checking it out. I can't stress that enough on Thanksgiving. I'm thankful for the things I have and you. I'm thankful for my family and my health, my pets, baby Jesus, you. Y-O-U. All right. Okay. So I just wanted to point that out. I will be checking in with sponsors and stuff like that. But enjoy this not best of.
This is the Eric Zane Show podcast, powered by the Zaniacs. For the free podcast and merch, go to ericzaneshow.com.
Robert Bradley starts us off on the Eric Zane Show podcast. Hey, how are you? What was that? I went, hey. Welcome in. Glad you are here. Some of you are getting this as it is recorded live. There is a live element to it. It is on Facebook. Okay. Welcome to you all. Share. That's all I ask. As I see the comments rolling in from the folks on Facebook, they're saying hi to each other. It's like their own little community. Good morning. Hi, how are you? I'm first, I'm second. Welcome to you all. And then, of course, I encourage you all to subscribe to the Eric Zane Show podcast. I'm learning more and more about how this racket works when it comes to the what's described as the algorithm for how popular your podcast is. It isn't about how many downloads you get. It kind of is. It's about the rate at which you subscribe. And the way you subscribe to the Eric Zane Show podcast is by going to my website, ericzaneshow.com, clicking on free podcasts, and then the subscribe button. Now, you can do this from your phone, from your laptop, or if you want, on iTunes, you can subscribe that way, or Spotify, or as long as you subscribe. Okay, that is key, and I'll get to why I know this in a second. And now, as well, you can rate that. I want you to throw 5 stars at me, okay? Even if you hate the show, I want you to throw 5 stars at me. Don't be a bastard, okay? This is how I make my living. And then if you really want to go the extra mile, throw a review in there. How about that? It doesn't have to be much. Just write, this show's great. Click, and then off you go. That helps me like you wouldn't believe. And here's how I know this. I did a little research. It is subscriptions are great, but what really moves the meter is the rate of new subscribers. There are farms that have like banks of cell phones where people hit subscribe buttons. Like people pay for that. It's cheating, and I wouldn't do that because I don't want to do that. But if I can get you one at a time to subscribe, that's awesome. And I read an article that said it's the rate that moves the meter the most. And I know this because when I signed this podcast on January 6th, Sunday, January 6th into Monday, January 7th, I had a huge influx of subscribers. Well, not huge. You all, there was probably 1,000 who subscribed in a matter of moments. And that mattered to Apple Podcasts. So I debuted at 106. Now, the top 100 is huge. If you are a top 100 show, that is unbelievable. And that's probably why I got the attention of these agencies who noticed it right away that I charted at 106. And then it also makes sense because after that settles down, it drops to where I normally dwell, 500-600. And they probably were like, oh, shit, he made a big splash, but now nobody. So these agencies, they're called ad agencies that wanted me to they were interested at first in me selling like mattresses and stamps and shit like that and toothbrushes, which would have been great. It quickly dried up and they said, oh, yeah, fuck this guy, man. he's got one batch of fans and they signed up, but he doesn't have shit to back it up. And that's true. But I'm very grateful for the ones that I have. Will always be very grateful for the ones I have, and it does help me, and I am able to make a living doing this. But if you all subscribe, shit, man, that is the life essence. So please subscribe. That is the interesting aspect of this, of how this works. So thank you to those of you who have, and if you have not, please do it. Throw some stars at me, throw a review, and off you go. Speaking of that, another entity in my industry of spoken word is being talked about right now by some industry leaders. A gentleman I know who I've talked about on the show many times, Fred Jacobs of Jacobs Media, has just published an article today that says the headline radio never wants to read. And it says, extra, extra, Starbucks will stop selling newspapers. And if you are a radio junkie, you definitely want to subscribe to Fred's daily article. You can get to it by going to jacobsmedia.com. Extra, extra, Starbucks will stop selling newspapers. And he says that this is bad news. It could be bad news for radio because it is symbolic of what could happen. And that is an entity kind of the Times moves on without the media entity. And so people would go to Starbucks and get their hard copy newspaper. And then they would sit there and drink their coffee. No more. And this could be indicative of another problem as consumers get their content in other means. SiriusXM, Pandora, Spotify, podcasts, books on tape, or I should say digital audio books, and on and on. And what he's talking about is how an organization called the National Association of Broadcasters needs to get in bed with the auto industry to ensure that car radios will not go away the way of the newspaper, like the New York Times, at Starbucks. And if you think, well, that will never happen, well, I don't know. I know that, you all know that there's FM radio and there's AM radio. AM radio is being squeezed. I have a radio behind me in the Back Alley Comedy Club studio, a home unit. It has a CD player, it has a Bluetooth, it has a cassette player, it has a vinyl, it has a radio, FM only, no AM on that. Tesla and BMW are making cars right now that have no AM radio. That's scary for people that do radio for a living, because will FM maybe one day follow? It's possible. It's all a matter of what the consumer wants. His article talks about, let's see here. Fred writes, a little back of the napkin math tells you if every Starbucks store sold 5 copies of the New York Times each weekday, it would come to a loss of roughly 43,000 papers a day against daily sales of 487,000. That's nearly a 10% bite, not an insubstantial hit to their circulation. But beyond the bottom line, the bigger loss is one of proximity, presence, and even face. This would be tough to swallow for any media brand. And then he gets into more about how our radio people ought to be able to relate. Since our company began, our industry focus, this is Fred's company, since our company began, our industry focus on the car dashboard more than a decade ago, we've heard broadcasters fearfully ask whether automakers might one day stop including AM, FM radios as standard equipment in their new makes and models. He then gives the BMW and Tesla example. He says it's not impossible to imagine the day when automakers amp up their focus on revenue, especially media outlets that provide money in exchange for dashboard real estate. So if SiriusXM or Pandora or Spotify or Apple Podcasts decide to shell out big coin for, let's say, the new F-150 to not have a radio, that could happen because they don't put a radio in there just to be nice, okay? They're not doing it just so you'll be happy. They want to make money. So if those other media entities set up shop in Detroit, as Fred indicated, radio's fucked. Let's see here. In fact, he says, that's why efforts at the NAB have undertaken the past few years to reach out and connect with car companies, their executives, and their suppliers should be supported by every broadcaster. Relationships matter. That may not guarantee radio's place on the dashboard for time immemorial, but they will most certainly keep the radio medium top of mind and present in the minds of the auto community. Let's see. There was one more thing I wanted to get to. No better time for America's radio honchos to reach out to Detroit to keep those fires burning. Wait a minute. Let me back up. Local broadcasters shouldn't just count on their street reps to lobby on radio's behalf. There's partnership opportunities via local car dealerships and dealer groups. And while these include monetary rewards, Yeah, radio's got a ton of money these days. They also go to heart of broadcasters establishing stronger ties to hometown car and truck sellers, the conduit to the big automakers. Fred concludes, there's also no time for America's radio honchos to reach out to Detroit to keep those fires burning. Many of radio's closest competitors, SiriusXM, Pandora, Spotify, and others have set up shop in Detroit. The NAB should too. They haven't? Fuck. And maybe someday the radio show will make its way to the Motor City. Now, that's a headline we'd like to see. Wow. When you have well-respected names in radio writing articles about the potential for radio leaving the car dashboard, yikes. That is frightening. I can't imagine a world where I would get into a car and not have a radio, but it might be closer than you think. Scary stuff, to be sure. Also, on my mind today as we start the show on the monologue, my sweet dog, Benny the One-Eyed Wonder Dog. Is that nearby here? Can I get this? Ah!
He's Benny the Wonder Dog. Benny the Wonder Dog. Benny the One-Eyed Wonder Dog. Yeah. Benny the One-Eyed Dog. Benny the One-Eyed Dog. Benny the One-Eyed Wonder Dog. You want him?
Thank you, Gutter. Benny is back to the vet today, and it's a big, big day. If you don't know, Benny the One-Eyed Wonder Dog. Jackie said, hey, Dad, here's a dog for you. What? Heartworm positive. Some of you may not know what that means, but the dog has a long row to hoe. Pfft, idiot. To recover from that. Well, today he goes back for this injection, this shot that starts to really wreak havoc on the bad things inside of him. It's the second round of this, second and final, but it's a two-day process. Take him there. He walks in. Oh, boy. And Benny's always he's always like half scared all the time anyway. He's always afraid something bad's going to happen to him. He always has a look on his face like, you know, it's the end of the world. He's going to start crying. It's like working with an old radio guy of mine. And so Benny will go in there today and get a shot. And then he's got to stay there the whole day, the whole night. Oh, he's going to hate that. They got to, like, keep him under observation. So that's a bummer. And then tomorrow, another shot. It's the 1-2 punch on the poor guy. Man, it's been a hell of a handful of months. First, his former owners break his heart by surrendering him. Did you ever consider that if you've ever surrendered a dog, how upset the dog's going to be? You know, you think, oh, well, I just got to get it. Dog's costing me a lot of money. I'm just going to. You ever think about how upset the dog is going to be? That dog loves you. You can't surrender your dog. Okay? So if you surrender the dog, you're going to break the dog's heart. That's one thing that happened to Benny. And then Benny is in this terrible kill shelter in San Antonio. He ends up being on death row 1 hour from death, and then he gets pulled from the line thanks to Jackie. This terrific shelter called OB's Angels, OBE apostrophe S, Angels, raises money on a GoFundMe to get Benny transported up here. I don't know what's going on. They also raise money to get his eye removed because it was in bad shape, and he gets neutered. And then he's thrown in a van with his baby, his little purple duck. And he travels up here. I still don't know what's going on. Jackie meets him at the mobile station not far from here and brings him home. Here you go. So I've got this malnourished, no-balled, one-eyed dog, scared shitless, with a duck in his mouth and heartworm positive. So he's getting treatment. He's my dog, and I love him to death. I love him so much. So I'm really worried about Benny. Thoughts and prayers to Benny. Stu McAllister, give him some thoughts. Give him some prayers. All right. You remember I told you that after I saw the fountains at what was Ground Zero, that I am going to go back to New York City to make a day of a treasure of the United States and the world, the 9/11 Museum. I told you that. Well, this weekend is that weekend. I'm driving back there. And I am going to walk through that ever so slowly and spend a whole day consuming this fresh in our minds history at the place where it all happened. To me, in the United States, there are a handful of sacred places. This is the tip top of that. Pearl Harbor, the Alamo, 9/11 is so, I mean, it was just, 2001. So it's not that long ago that we had that. And it's hard to believe that there are people that are born these days who have no real idea of the impact of something like that because time has marched on. So I'm so happy that this thing does exist so that people who don't know, who can't really relate because they weren't of age or hadn't even been born, can somehow get an idea of the despair that I know this is very, very heavy, but I still cannot wait to go see this. So driving with Diana, myself, and our good friend Sherry, and she's got loved ones there. They're gonna hang out, and Diana and I are doing like the America thing because we're going to see the 9/11 Museum, and that's on Sunday. On Saturday, we're going to the Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island. That's where my dad landed, Ellis Island. Now, I don't know if there's a great book or an archive that you can look up to see if you can find names, but I'm going to go try to find my dad's name in the book of people entering the country from way back when, in 1950, whenever, when he did that. So I cannot wait for that. Now, I'm leaving Thursday. I'm going to podcast this show Thursday morning, like I always do. That would be the 18th, and then I'm off. So Friday, I'm still determining what I'm going to do for the podcast. I know I will have on the Patreon the Insane Asylum for Friday, and I got to give you something, man. I'm not much for just shutting it down and not doing anything. So I'll either scrap up a Lost Zane tapes that I will narrate along the way, which those are turning out to be a lot of fun. I'll give that for the free podcast, and I'll probably do that on Monday too because I'll be traveling back on Monday. So a little bit of time away, and then the next fresh podcast, and maybe Tuesday. Wait a minute. When am I getting back? I don't even know. I got to check with Diana, but I'll let you know either way. But it should be a good time. I'll have lots of tales to tell from our adventure, as I like to do. So I'm really, really looking forward to that.
Okay. Taking a break from whatever that was. I have absolutely no clue to tell you that the only way this podcast has existed, well, it's a combination of things. But I've made it very clear that if it weren't for these things to all line up, dead in the water, dead man walking, no podcast. That's a fact. Combination of the Patreon and the sponsors. It's that simple. The show happens every day in the Baldwin Ace Hardware Fear Bunker Studio. I'm thankful for Baldwin Ace Hardware, Mike and Jennifer Gilmurray. As we speak, their second. Remember, I was just telling you about this guy that he had COVID. Mike Gilmurray from Baldwin Ace Hardware wiped out his whole family, all his siblings, his mom. Then he was in a horrible car wreck. Him and his wife, some lady pulled out right in front of him. T-boned her. Old lady died. It was her fault. Mike and the missus were badly hurt. They survived. Just about the day that they're getting up and around, Mike's better half, Jennifer, goes down to Grand Rapids from up in Baldwin, goes on to Grand Rapids to go shopping or something. And a tornado rips Mike's house to shreds, and he's got a second piece of property also destroyed. So he's like, holy shit, what the fuck? He's got a New York accent. He's from Staten Island. Yeah, what the fuck? Hey, what the fuck I got to do here to catch a break? I don't even know if that's a good accent. That's terrible. Just this past week, he got back from Vegas and he's diagnosed with COVID again. him and the whole family. They're all, it's like, what the fuck? Fully vaxxed, you know, one of those deals. Hopefully he'll make his way through it. Jesus. I didn't think I was going to get all depressed here. So, yeah, while I do this special show for something while I'm away on Thanksgiving and the day after Thanksgiving, you're going to get these moments where my mind just kind of, it's almost like the regular show, you know? Where was I? Baldwin Ace Hardware. Thank you for them. Thank you to Sarah Honda Granville. Thad Bond. You are awesome. If you're looking for a vehicle, a new vehicle, certified pre-owned or a used vehicle, I want you to go to Sarah Honda Granville. Online at sarahhondagranville.com. Okay? It's kind of weird getting a new car these days because of that stupid chip shortage or some shit. What? It's ridiculous. But anyway, you can still get it done. Just takes a little more time, as far as I understand. Frank the Tank Fuss from My Policy Shop Insurance has really just thrived here on the show, and I'm very happy about that. And I owe it all to you, the audience. And I said to him when we started this, I go, dude, this is going to work for you because you are providing something that they need and it doesn't cost them anything. This is essential. Doesn't matter if you get your insurance from your employer, you buy it on the marketplace, you know, Obamacare, perhaps Medicare is in your future or someone you know and love takes advantage of that system. You must tap the brain of Frank the Tank Fuss. This is free for you or anyone you know. 616-914-4070 or go to buyinsurancehere.com. Okay? Capiche? Let's get back to the not best of. Here you go. The moon landing 50 years ago. Yesterday or today. Anyway, they're commemorating it and celebrating the moon landing. NBC Nightly News was front and center for a... what they did was, you know, the mission control, if you ever saw the film Apollo 13 with Tom Hanks, you've got the mission control where they're saying, oh my God, we got to get these guys back home. Failure is not an option. Mission control is where you got those old monitors there and everybody's running around and the whatever year it was 50 years ago. And I can't do the math. I don't want to try here. Well, they ended up dismantling mission control and taking all the stuff that was there and throwing it in a closet. Well, they decided through donations that they wanted to... what they decided to do was recreate and rebuild mission control. And that was unveiled just the other day at the 50-year anniversary of it. So
it was one of the most defining moments in human history.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
With Houston Mission Control at the center of the action.
Roger, Tranquility, we copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot.
Gene Kranz was just 36 years old and the flight director in charge.
This was your seat.
Yes, this was my seat.
50 years later, he's back in mission control, restored.
Oops.
Later, he's back in mission control, restored to the way it looked on that day, July 20th, 1969.
Does this look the way
July 20th, sorry.
Look the way it did 50 years ago?
It's overwhelming, frankly.
His Kent cigarettes are here, but no ashes. Researchers poured over...
Yeah, that was at a time, if you ever saw that film, Apollo 13, and if you ever saw any archive footage of mission control, that dude that you hear talking... He's got a cigarette in his hand on every single moment, and so do most of the people in there. It's all dudes, because back then, women weren't allowed to even work, it seems like. And so, you know, mostly dudes, I should say. And they're all smoking the Kents and the Marlboro Reds and the filterless Camels. And, you know, I don't know what it is about that, but there's something charming about a dude working with a smoke hanging out of his mouth. It's pretty damn sexy, if you ask me.
Lloyd Bridges in the film Airplane is what I want to see. I want us to get back to that. Is there a way that, you know, like ever when something fades out of fashion, it comes back? Is there any way we can make it so that you can smoke inside while you're working? Because I always thought it looked badass. I've got images of even if you were in a job that isn't that sexy. I got a picture of my dad in 1976 wearing a plaid jacket, and he's selling insurance, and he's on the phone working for a now defunct company called Life of Virginia with a cigarette in one hand, a phone up to his ear. And he's just throws a cigarette in the ash. Oh, it's just awesome, man. I love that.
Pored over film and countless photos before precisely placing each chair, each coffee cup, pencil, RC cola, ashtray, and slide rule. Much of it found sitting in NASA storage rooms. A few vintage pieces, including the corner coffee pot, they found on eBay. An $8 million fundraising effort to turn this National Historic Landmark into a museum.
It's probably one of the most important and historic places on Earth. And so we felt very compelled to make it be just as perfect as we can.
Gene Kranz became even more famous.
By the way, she's kind of overstating that. To saying it's the most historic place on Earth. Come on. I think it's the 9-11. Frankly, I just talked about the 9-11 Museum. I don't know if the old school Mission Control is the most historically important place on Earth.
And
Gene Kranz became even more famous when he ordered Failure is Not an Option on Apollo 13, also in
love
this
that
room.
Movie.
I think it has a message for the young people of a dream to do something difficult, to step up to great responsibilities.
Yeah.
History itself was written.
Like, pay your fucking student loans.
History itself was written here by everyday people who accomplished the extraordinary. Tom Costello, NBC News, Houston.
We'll never go to the moon because you'll get some guy who's like an astrophysicist and who's 31 years old. And you're going to say, all right, get us to the moon again. And he's going to say, well, I can't. Well, why? Because it's hard. I'm going to go cry and kill myself. So I love that guy, by the way, Kranz saying, yeah, you know, challenge yourself to do something difficult. Megan pointed it out. And I had heard this before. Kennedy Space Center, the mission control there back in the day, you have more power, more computing power in your iPhone than they did in that entire setup, which is ridiculous. And that's the place where they're, guiding spaceships or capsules. No one calls them spaceships. Speaking of which, just popped in my head. I started watching the Netflix special on Bob Lazar, which I think came out in 2018. And this is the dude. He's a whistleblower, worked in the Nevada desert near Area 51. And he's the dude who started the whole Area 51 aliens thing because he worked with a TV reporter who did one story on there's alien spacecraft. And he worked on them. He was trying to reverse engineer them. And he, I'm about two-thirds of the way into it. And it kind of sucks, the documentary. There's not a lot to it other than just Lazar saying it's true, it's true, it's true. For some reason, I'm still compelled to finish it. And I don't know why, but I believe the guy. I do believe that there are alien spacecraft there, and I do believe that Bob Lazar worked on them. And I also believe that NASA doesn't give a shit that he's talking about, not NASA, or the organization that is behind this. I'm sure it's covert, because they know that everybody's going to think the guy's crazy. By the way, when they made this stupid thing, this documentary, they had... what's the guy from The Wrestler? Mickey Rourke? Is that the guy who got all the plastic surgery and did a bunch of steroids and changed his appearance massively? I think that's a guy. He's the narrator. And he's got this gravelly voice. He was also in Sin City. He didn't even need any makeup for that. The guy's so god-awful ugly because of the plastic surgery ruined his face. Mickey Rourke is a narrator, so they'll play like about 12 minutes of a segment, and then they'll do like some animation with Mickey's narration. Just bump ahead 15 seconds until he's done talking. It does nothing for this documentary. It absolutely is window dressing, and it sucks. Holy shit. I would give this documentary 2 out of 5 stars. It's kind of shitty, but I still think it's worth it because I believe Lazar. Lazar was just on Rogan, too. I got to check that one out as well. Because I do believe that there are he says, yeah, 9 spacecraft, and he was commissioned to work for them. And then they introduced him to it and said, we need you to reverse engineer these. So he was trying to figure out how to take how they move the craft, which is a way that is beyond our technology here. I know that it sounds crazy that I believe it, but I do. It's something you got to see. Read up on it. One of the many things I believe that you probably don't.
Okay. 2 segments in of not the best of. I'm back in November 2021 time. It's really weird listening to these old shows. How I talk is different. Everything, I'm almost, because I'm, like I've said before, I'm a horrible critic of me. I get uncomfortable listening to these. It just doesn't, I don't know. I've never, ever felt that anything is good enough. It always seems unnatural to me. I don't like it. It's frustrating to hear. Ugh. Anyway, I was kind of like a hyper idiot more back then. Oh, God. And then I'm looking at some of the times on these podcasts, and it's like, oh, man, I went 40 minutes. For God's sake, nowadays, the open is like an hour. Way different. Way, way different. Okay? Thank you to Blue Frost IT. The good folks over there at Blue Frost IT, Alan and Ashlyn. You need to reach out to them for your small or medium-sized business if you are in West Michigan. BlueFrostIT.com or drop them an email, info@BlueFrostIT.com. You can also call them 616-285-50. So, yeah, you know, you've got your 9 employees. They're getting bummed out because all the tech is slow. You need an upgrade. Don't just start buying stuff off Amazon. You'll either buy not enough or more than you need. And you'll waste your time and money. Sit down with a professional who can assess what you do at your place of business to determine what type of computing power you should have. That is a free complimentary consultation. Call 616-285-50 or reach out info@BlueFrostIT.com for more info. All right? I hear from people all the time saying, man, I just absolutely fell in love with Steve Prince from Prince Arming. I know it sounds a little weird. I mean, he's like a 6'7", former major in the United States Army. I mean, legit. I mean, he's that big. He's one of the biggest people I've ever known in my whole life. He's going to be the one who teaches you everything you need to know to be carrying a pistol concealed. All right. That's the first thing you got to do. The first thing you do is not go buy a pistol, jerk. All right? Take the class. There's a lot of reasons for that, especially if you're like, well, I don't know anything about guns. You don't have to. That's why you're taking the class. Go into the class. You don't know anything about guns. Take the class, but you want to carry a pistol concealed. In that class, you'll get some range time. You'll maybe you're like, this 38 will work for me, or this... Or this 9mm, this is perfect for me. Whatever, you know, and Steve's got all these different guns you can try out. It's absolutely the best. It's going to set you back $125. The class, there's new ones popping up all the time. I suggest just calling or texting Steve. Tell him Eric sent you. 616-204-1705 for Prince Armin. Also, if you click on his logo on my website,
It'll take you right to his Facebook page, and that's where you can sign up for the classes under events. All right. On with the not at all close to being the best of on this beautiful Thanksgiving.
Damn it, I just can't get enough of it.
And now, here's a guy who has to have a pork chop tied around his neck to get the dogs to play with him.
You keep your mouth shut if you knew it was good for you, buddy.
It's the Eric Zane Show podcast with your host, Eric Zane.
What if John can sing? You think John can sing?
Stupid cat is good, yeah. Stupid cat is good.
I can do the voice. I can do the vocals for you.
McAllister, the dude from Buffalo, comedy, you know, likes Canadian bands, toe. Stu McAllister, yeah.
Enough. What's happening? It's a Patreon bonus. Well, we like to do it from the Back Alley Comedy Club studio. And hey, let me start off by throwing that I am really, I just got some news that a guy who's been on this show is a little under the weather. Comedian Adam Deggy. Really funny dude. And the beloved husband of a sweet friend of mine named Nikki is under the weather. And I'm thinking about you, man. And I got to talk about this on the Freebie podcast, too. But I wanted to get it off my chest as quickly as possible while I was thinking about it. Deggy, who is like key in the whole Laugh Fest thing and has been a touring comic for extended time, a dear friend of Stu McAllister, is not feeling too good. Apparently, skin cancer is what we're talking about here. And he's getting the treatment to get rid of the skin cancer. And it's my understanding, he posted this on Facebook, Adam did, that it is stage two. Now, typically, I hear the number four is, boy, that's it. So, stage two is a little scary, you know? I mean, he indicated that there's a 50-50 chance that the cancer could have gotten to his lymph nodes. So, that is a little scary. So thinking about you, Adam Deggy, you're going to pull through. You're going to do great. Positive vibes coming to you. You can count on it. You're going to be just fine. I know that. Thinking about Adam Deggy. If you could too. If you follow Adam on Facebook or Twitter, drop him a, hey, buddy, we're thinking about you. He'd love to hear that, I'm sure. Maybe he wouldn't. Maybe he's going to be like, oh, shit, you shouldn't have talked about it, Zay. Now all these assholes are going to. Yeah, well, man, that is scary business. It's just one of those things that happens that makes you like, oh God, this is the mortality of it all. Speaking of which, and it isn't going to be an entire downer show, but there's a quarterback that I used to just love in football by the name of Jared Lorenzen, who had some of the coolest nicknames in the history of the game. And the reason why he had cool nicknames is because he was fat. And what you have here is a football quarterback in college from the University of Kentucky who was great. I mean, the dude was a 300-pound quarterback, a big, fat tub of guts. And he would run great. He still ran very well. And then he was, bigger than all the other players on the field, the quarterback. So, you know, like Tom Brady drops back to pass and Tom Brady can't move. And he's tall and wiry. But this guy was as big as any offensive lineman, but moved very well and was a terrific passer. He's good as a passer as well as a thrower. I want to kiss you. Well, he's dead. The guy dropped dead at just 38 years old. He'd been out of the game for extended time. But Jared Lorenzen, he had been battling his weight, and his nicknames that I loved were the Hefty Lefty, awesome, and they also called him the Battleship Lorenzen. That's it. Great, great stuff. And when he was in college, I mean, he was kicking everybody's ass. He's because Kentucky isn't known for their football, more of a basketball school, but for that period of time, they were pretty damn good because of the Hefty Lefty. Dude didn't get drafted, but he signed a free agent contract with the New York Giants. And the Hefty Lefty played there for 4 years, and he backed up Eli Manning, and all the fucking fans of the Meadowlands were like, oh, God, put Lorenzen in, man. This guy is just awesome to watch. Big fan favorite. I know Brian Callahan is watching this right now, and he goes, oh, man, I loved the Hefty Lefty. And dude would sit there on the sidelines, fat as shit, and like talking to the fans and people like on the down low at the Meadowlands would pass some hot dogs and he'd be eating them. I mean, he wouldn't get in the game hardly ever. But when he did, it was like, oh, yes, here we go. And he was the type of dude that was always like, oh, man, I'm going to make the most of this. So like he'd get up to the line of scrimmage and the coach would call like a handoff to the right. And then he'd like, fuck that. And he'd audible and like call his own number on a naked bootleg. Or he just loved hitting people or throw it a mile. It lasted 4 years with the G-Men. In fact, that guy got a Super Bowl ring because he was Eli Manning's backup on the year when the G-Men surprised the Patriots in the Super Bowl. One of the greatest things I've seen when Tyree caught that ball off of his melon. And friggin' Eli and the Giants won the Super Bowl. That was great. Ah, the Hefty Lefty then started this weight loss journey like 2 or 3 years ago. I tried to get him on the old radio show, I think it was, or maybe it was the podcast. Maybe I can't remember, but Hefty Lefty got too big, could barely move. And, you know, that happens to a lot of these guys when they get done playing. And so Hefty Lefty tries losing the weight. And then, but apparently there was a heart issue and he had what's described as renal issues, which I think that means your kidneys or your liver. I think it's your kidneys. And he friggin' croaked. 38 years old. Gone too soon. The Hefty Lefty, Jared Lorenzen. Today's kind of a weird day because as I record this, it's 10:04. And Busy B. Eric is on his way to a brewery. That's right. There's a local brewery, of course, here in West Michigan where breweries are abundant. And I'm trying to get this guy to buy some advertising, get on the podcast. His name is Bill. So I got the meeting. I'll tell you what, if I get the meeting, many times, I got about an 85 to 90% hit rate on the meeting. As soon as I get the meeting, I'm able to persuade the potential buyer into getting in on the podcast. Can't say that has worked as well for me as I would have liked in getting a new job, as evidenced by the radio job that I thought I had when I murdered that interview. And then they ended up getting idiotic about it and screwing the whole damn thing up. That happens. Like not that's at 11. So that means I'm going to be leaving this house at 10:40. It's 10:06 now. I'll wrap this shit up at some point and then get it going. But I'm kind of like under the gun. Also on the job front, people are like, Zane, what the hell are you doing? I'm like, well, you know, first of all, this is my job and I do this like 7-8 hours every day, sometimes more. Constantly thinking about it, constantly thinking up new ways to try to reinvent the show and producing things and selling it and on and on and on. But I also am moonlighting unless I am able to land something in radio, and that remains to be seen. I'm starting to think the extra, there's no way. As each day passes, the glimmer of light to be on the radio as well as the podcast, it diminishes. Thank God I have this. So I've got limousine driving school on Wednesday. Yes, that's exactly right. I know. I feel a little weird whenever I describe me having to get a second job. I don't know why it. I don't know why it's embarrassing. I mean, but you got to work. You got to eat. I still got plenty of life to live before I can officially retire. I can't retire at this rate. I'm never going to retire. But yeah, so limousine school is Wednesday. I got my little chauffeur's license that says I can drive. Now the next thing I need to get is another license after I drive these smaller vehicles. Is the license to drive a bus. I don't even know what it's called. And then I can drive these big, gigantic buses. Now, if you go out and buy a big motorhome that looks like a bus, you can just drive it. Anybody can if you own it personally. But if you're transporting people, you have to have a special license, which is a lot of training that goes into that. So I start that process on Wednesday at limousine school. Dad cries, so baby daughter won't. What is this?
Wait, are we crying?
No.
Are we crying? Hang on, Georgia, look at me. Hey, my turn. I'm going to cry now, okay? Okay, your turn. Go ahead, cry.
No.
Cry. Good, good job. Go ahead, cry.
No.
Good job.
No.
Okay, my turn. Okay, your turn.
No.
Why? Yeah, good job. Go ahead, cry.
No.
Okay, I'm going to cry then. Okay, your turn.
No.
All right.
That is great. I love hearing the kid go, no. What a fucking Vulcan mind trick, man. That is, or Jedi. Is it? Did I combine science fiction stories there? Jedi mind trick? Yes. A Jedi mind trick there. God, I got to hear it again. Go. Fucker, come on.
Wait, are we crying?
No.
Yeah, he's already better than me because I would just go, shut the fuck up!
Are we crying? Hang on, Georgia, look at me. Hey, my turn. I'm going to cry now, okay? Okay, your turn. Go ahead, cry.
No.
Cry. Good, good job. Go ahead, cry.
No.
Good job.
No.
Okay, my turn. Okay, your turn.
No.
Why?
No.
Yeah, good job. Go ahead, cry.
No.
Okay, I'm going to cry then.
Yes.
Okay, your turn.
No.
God damn it. That guy's so much better than me. Oh, my God. Did you see the parrot barking like a fucking dog? It was great. Family in South Africa, they got a couple of dogs barking at the gate and a parrot that is doing what the fucking dogs are doing. So it's great. This is the audio of parrot barking like a dog with the dogs. I can't tell what's a parrot. There's another video of a parrot that Diana showed me many times of it. The parrot is stomping up and down the hallway, ranting and raving like pissed off husband, who no doubt has done that a million times. And the parrot is doing the guy going, rah, 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 and saying, trying to say what the guy says. Remember that story locally where the parrot saw the dude shoot the guy? And the parrot was the eyewitness, and the parrot said, "Don't shoot!" And, oh, God, that was crazy. That was a Ken Coker story. Devil woman attacks family in new home. A naked woman claiming to be the devil attacked a family in Virginia on Thursday night. On their first night in their new home, it sounds like a movie. Isn't there a movie out where the guy buys the home and the former homeowner's like, "Oh shit, this is my home now." She broke into the basement and the dad fired 39 rounds to scare her off. So he's like shooting into the house, just shoot her. It didn't work, so he threw furniture at her. He says she seemed possessed and had superhuman strength. Eventually, his wife and three kids joined in and their son stabbed the woman with a wrench. They sound really distraught about the whole thing. The woman was arrested. What the fuck did you ruin your furniture and get the family involved? You should have just shot her in the fucking face. Come
I said,
on.
Who are you? She said, I need your help. Please help me. I said, get out of my house. And she said, I'm the devil. She looked like she was possessed. I mean, her eyes were completely black like saucers and laughing like it was a joke. And she was not stopping. She had the strength of four grown men.
She was in to kill us. That was her almighty, was to kill us. She attacked us and I held her down and just kept on punching her and punching her as hard as I possibly could. I'm scared to go to any room by myself. I'm just terrified.
Fuck.
You've destroyed our family.
A Chesterfield family fends off a naked intruder claiming to be the devil. The dad grabbed his gun and fired dozens of rounds, but even that didn't stop her. The family spoke to
News
reporter Talia Cunningham about their traumatizing experience. It's a story you'll see only on 8.
The dad's
this
fault.
Family was under attack last night by a woman claiming to be the devil. She attacked this family, prompting the homeowner to fire 39 rounds.
She was in to kill us. That was her almighty, was to kill us.
A horrific first night for the Lewis family in their brand new home.
She attacked us and I held her down and just kept on punching her and punching her as hard as I possibly could.
Once a dream home, it now looks like a war zone.
Yeah, because a dummy.
I want to warn you at home, some of this video is graphic. Blood soaked into the carpet, walls and windows riddled with bullets, and shell casings scattered throughout.
I said, who are you? She said, I need your help. Please help me. And I said, get out of my house. And she said, I'm the devil.
The homeowner says a naked woman with a blue ponytail broke into the basement around 10:30 last night, laughing and refusing to leave.
She looked like she was possessed. I mean, her eyes were completely black like saucers.
Sounds like someone I used to work with.
And laughing like it was a joke.
Fearing for his life, the father of three upstairs grabbed his pistol, gave a verbal warning, and opened fire. He says the woman aggressively charged at him with what he calls superhuman strength.
And she was not stopping. She had the strength of four grown men.
You don't have superhuman aim. That's what needed. No, we needed just basic human aim. You should see this. It's like the fucking moron shot everything in the house but her.
He began throwing furniture. His wife and children jumped in, beating the woman. Yet she didn't stop until their 12-year-old son shoved a wrench into her neck. Police arrested the intruder.
Okay. Now, what they show is it isn't a wrench, it's a ratchet. And you know how, like, on a ratchet, you know that extender you can put on the ratchet and then put the socket on the end of the extender? He shoved the extender into her neck, which is blunt. And he stabbed her with a blunt object, this kid.
Being treated and evaluated at the hospital. As for the Lewis family, they're left with bruises and bite marks, traumatized.
Jeez. I'm scared to go to any room by myself. I'm just terrified. You've destroyed our family.
Talia Cunningham.
Her daughter needs a smacker. It's like, enough. Okay, we get it. You're traumatized. Fastest knockout in UFC history. It happened on Saturday. I actually watched a little bit of this. I didn't see this fight. God, I really like UFC, man. I see that every time I watch a little bit of it. It was leading up to the main event, so it was before the pay-per-view kicked in. By the way, ESPN Plus, you know what they're doing to make you watch a UFC event now? Before, you could just, on your cable operator, just say, all right, I'll buy it, and it's whatever, $50. Now, ESPN Plus, like this was an ESPN Plus fight. They make you download their app and sign up for the streaming service for $10 a month. And then you got to buy the fight. So you got, what they're counting on is you sign up for $10 a month, buy the fight, and then forget. And then they keep charging you, and then you don't like cancel it. It's bullshit. Fastest knockout in UFC history. I can't read. UFC history happened Saturday. UFC 239 in the welterweight division. Jorge Masvidal landed a flying knee to Ben Askren just 5 seconds into the fight. Askren had come into the match with a record of 19-0.
And these guys just flapping gums at each other. Any chance they get. The fight clock is brought to you by Mogo.
Oh, I love that. He's trying to get this Fight Clock sponsor.
And these guys just flapping gums at each other. Any chance they get. The Fight Clock is brought to you by Modelo.
Rogan's trying to get a word, and you can't even hear him. Folks, limited time. Unfortunately, like I said, I got to go to a meeting, so I apologize for this shit effort that I put forth from this today. So that's imperfect. It ends with no music because this stupid thing's not operating right. Well, I completely sucked. Thank you again for following the Eric Zane Show podcast and listening to this thing. It's awesome that you are part of it, and I will talk to you down the road. God bless.
Okay. I hope you're enjoying whatever that was. I have no clue. Okay? I pulled four 20-minute segments or so. I did a little audio arts and crafts, edit, snippy, and then that's it. I mean, seriously. I would love to say that I spent hours painstakingly reviewing the best segments, but I had to shelve it all in order to prepare for the Feast of Thanks, okay? And I know you're like, Eric, you shouldn't even have done this because you're that kind. You're that sweet. It's always just me beating myself up. All right, today, I will tell you this, though. At the Grand Rapids Gold game, I was getting set to start the game. And one of the personnel from the Grand Rapids Gold, a young gentleman comes walking up. He goes, hey, how are you? I go, fine. He goes, hey, I want to let you know. You called us the Grand Rapids Drive last night. Now, what I wanted to say was, okay, so when whatever basketball player misses a shot, do you walk up to him and say, hey, you missed a shot there? I'm like, you fucking idiot. I spent the last 5 years saying Grand Rapids Drive. One's likely to get by the goalie, you fuck. And but I didn't do that. I went, Oh, I was afraid I'd do that, you know? And he goes, that's okay, muscle memory. It's like, yeah, well, what the fuck are you telling me for? Do you think I won't do it now because you told me? And I swear on a stack of holy Bibles, after introducing the team, I'm all stupid. And I go, and I was supposed to say the Gold are coached by Jason Terry. And of course, you know what happened. I mean, do I even need to say it? Of course it happened. Of course it happened. And I look down the bench and the fucker's looking at me. I'm like, oh, fucking shit. Fuck. Oh, God. Stop it. Quit looking at me, you asshole. This is your fault. Shit. I want you to call the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. Okay? If you're in need of a mortgage, your first, your 10th, a refi, whatever. Okay, reach out to Mario. That doesn't mean that he's going to do it for you. I just want you to talk to him, you know? I mean, you're going to talk to maybe somebody you've used in the past, someone that a friend recommended would be number two. I just want Mario to be number three, you know? Mention me, please. And, you know, give him a shot. He might be just the thing that you're looking for. Okay, and it really, really helps me when you bang on the door of my sponsors, okay? That keeps the energy bill paid, puppy dogs fed, and all these fun things so that we can keep doing the podcast. Thank you to Mario, 231-332-6505.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
While I'm at it, TC Paintball, Rick over at TC Paintball. By the way, I did not mention that. I don't know why I didn't mention this. But the last paintball event, Paintball War 16, the Slaughter of the Pilgrims Massacre, we did the Battle Royale. It was all 16, 17 of us against Rick. And we kicked his ass twice. Yeah, he's lost it. He has absolutely fallen apart. I got to make sure to mention this on a regular day's podcast. Rub his face in it. He probably was like, oh, he's going to beat the shit out of me on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. I didn't do it. I forgot. I just reminded myself. Oh, man. He claimed his gun broke in the first one. Yeah, whatever. And then the second one, we smoked him again. Yes. All right. I want you to bang on the door of TC Paintball for some good time family fun. They're open for Black Friday. Go over there and get it started, man. I'm telling you. Get a group of kids together. Get the guys from the workplace together. The ladies, whatever. Bachelor party. You're going to have a ball at TC Paintball. TCPaintballGR.com. All right. On with another segment. From the This Is Definitely the Best That I... Wait a minute. I said that wrong. It's not like I'm drunk. This is definitely not the best I have ever done Best Of Show.
What's going on, friends? I'm glad you are here.
This is the Eric Zane Show podcast, powered by the Zaniacs. For the free podcast and merch, go to ericzaneshow.com.
Hey, y'all, how are you? Welcome to the Eric Zane Show podcast once again. We are together and so happy to have you along. We have a number of people that are going to enjoy the show on Facebook right now. If you are, fantastic. Thank you. And a lot of you will get this recorded at a later time on demand. If you are enjoying it on Facebook, please do me a favor and subscribe to the audio version of the Eric Zane Show podcast at my website, ericzaneshow.com. Click on free podcast and then subscribe. Throw me a review, too. I like looking at those from time to time. Kind of like just say, what are people thinking? So a lot to talk about today. And I, you know, it's crazy because I write these notes ahead of time. And then I don't know what in the world the word paint means here. Why? I wrote it minutes ago, but I have no idea what that even means. It says paint. What? I couldn't tell you for the life of me what that means. Oh, it's paintball. Let me start with that. Man, we're filling up, but by the time you hear this, there will no doubt still be some space for the Eric Zane Show podcast, Paintball War number 3. And if you haven't already heard, we have ripped from the headlines the first ever, one of the two big things we'll do is the border war, where the Hondurans are going to be on one side, and we're going to call it the Make America Paint Again session. While we're doing this, the Hondurans are going to be on one side, and then we're going to have six dudes in Trump hats on the other side, and it's the war to settle the score, Make America Paint Again, and that's what these guys are going to do. So stupid. I'm hoping everyone's on board with that. It might just be talked about here in a fun way and not really done there. But nevertheless, that's going to be fun. It's coming up on July 17th. That's Wednesday, July 17th. As of this recording, that's less than a week away. Damn it. If you want in, reach out, eric@ericzaneshow.com. Just send me an email, eric@ericzaneshow.com. It's for people on the west side of the state in Michigan. Hey, drop me a note, drop me an email, and I'll say, all right, gotcha. You're in on the head count. $35 is all it's going to set you back for 3 hours of play from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Wednesday, July 17th at TC Paintball. All right. Very, very fun. If you haven't yet done this, we'd love to get some new blood in there. We got a lot of the returning veteran players. That's always great. But the newbies are just spectacular to bring in and say, here we go. This is what we do. All right. Now, I want to start with talking about what's going on with me personally on the job front. Ups and downs yesterday. I'm not going to lie, because while the podcast is going great, I am realizing that as I continue to grow the podcast, and it is still growing, I'm getting all sorts of sponsors that that has never diminished. I've had all sorts of re-signees. The Steffes Group, I just heard from them. They're very, very happy with the ads. Not to mention A&E Heating and Cooling, re-signing. Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid, re-signing. Thank you. As I still build this, you know, in order to be made whole, like how much I was used to making in terms of income, I have to work more. So thus, driving the limousine is a quick way to make cash. And I'm not going to lie, I felt a little sad when I was at the limousine place yesterday, Affordable Limousine, getting, you know, kind of like the basics and the overview of what I'd be doing there, because I have a realization that at 49 years old, I am 100% going back to square one on my radio career. And though I love this, and this is, I've come to grips with this is how I make my income in this career field here. It's still upsetting to me that that is at the rock bottom. And, you know, it is what it is. There are ups and downs. Paul Jacobs said at Conclave, you know, those at the bottom of the pile one day are at the top of the pile the next day and vice versa. That happens. And I as I come to grips with that more and more, sometimes it's a little bit upsetting. And I had that moment yesterday. And I also met yesterday with a radio station. And there's a pretty decent chance that I'll be able to work in Grand Rapids. But the job that I would be doing is as basic as it gets. It is entry-level position. It is something that I've never really had to do before. And I will be doing the job, more than likely, of a radio rookie. And it's, you know, very low hourly wage. But I looked at that as an opportunity, as you'd be at a radio station. You'd be able to offer your what it is you can offer. And, you know, if things manifest in the radio company at a later date, you're then in the fold. You're then working there. You can provide something if something develops further down the road. And that's kind of how I looked at it. And that motivated me a little bit. And I kind of liked the idea of the scrappy start from the all the way at the very, very bottom. And I just... I think one of the things that stuck with me was, yeah, that's great. But what was also upsetting was I'm a very big what will people think about me guy. And to me, anybody who says I don't care what people think about me, boy, I just don't think you're being honest. I do care what people think about me. And in a lot of cases, it motivates me, but I do care what they think about me. And so I can only imagine what people think about me in my industry, people I've worked with, and it, I don't know. I just, it's kind of a jamming a stick into the spokes of the bicycle. This might be all in my own head. It might be a problem that I'm completely manufacturing for myself. In fact, it more than likely is, but I don't know. It was just kind of strange yesterday to have to contemplate all of this at once. But so working, and I gotta go get a drug test for limousine school. I gotta get a drug test and I gotta get a physical. The drug test, I think I'll be able to pass that with flying colors. No problems there. Good to go. And then I'll be driving limousines. So that'll be interesting. Some fun stories on the podcast, to be sure. Something else I did yesterday was I started reaching out to the candidates for the what will be the hotly contested third district of the state of Michigan. Now, for those of you in other parts of the United States and beyond, possibly, who listen to this podcast, like, what the hell do we care for? What do the hell we care about one congressional district in the state where you live? Yeah, I know, I get that, but fuck off. It's my show. I do what I want. No, since my content is on demand, and you can pick and choose to listen to what you want, that gives me great flexibility on this podcast to really unpack shit. And believe it or not, there are a lot of people that are interested because this dude, Justin Amash, made national headlines with his saying that that we should begin impeachment proceedings on the president. He was the only member of Congress to do that, went out on a super far limb, and then turned tail on the Republican Party. That's huge. Holy shit. Now he's an independent. So all these people in this very, very big district in the state of Michigan who voted for him as a Republican, a lot of those people are pissed off saying, you know, F you, Amash. We don't want anything to do with you. This is a red state district, a red district, and we want it to stay that way. But, oh, not so fast, because as you all know, Trump, a very polarizing president. There have been a lot of people in the Republican Party that, you know, not so accepting of him, who think like Amash. But will it be enough to get that guy reelected? Because he's the incumbent. So in the November 2020 election, which is kind of a long ways away off, still, it's opened the door for a lot of possibilities there. Will he have enough to be an independent member of the House of Representatives? I personally don't think so. Or will it be a blue wave? A lot of people are saying that the Democrats are going to show up and kick ass. So this is really exciting. So all of these people have thrown their hats into the mix for this position. You got the incumbent, Amash, obviously, as an independent. You now have, I believe, three Democrats and now five Republicans. The most recent was the guy that I have a history with, Joel Langlois. Joel owns the Deltaplex and the Intersection. Those are the two businesses I know off the top of my head that Joel owns. And I have a long history with Joel because I made fun of his ass when it comes to the Deltaplex. And then Joel got bent out of shape and bitched to my boss at the time at Free Beer and Hot Wings. And my boss then... What, you know, and be fair here, Joel did not say, I demand him being fired. It wasn't anything like that. He complained as he's a customer of the radio station, a client. And his thing was, he goes, hey, you know, I pay you money to advertise. I don't want to be treated like this by the talent. And you got to understand, and the nature of the beast and what I do, I was a... very polarizing on the radio, and I get that. I get huge accolades and press and success and ratings, but at the same time, you're going to step on some toes being the guy that I was on that show. There was a time when the management was exquisite, and then it became kind of like a real shit show over there. And I can get away with saying what I want about these people because I didn't sign a agreement to not attack them. So I can. Before it became Town Square, there was a guy named Phil Catlett there. And he was the general manager. And it was a national publicly traded company. But if any shit went down, like if any Joel Langlois appeared and said, hey, what the fuck? Phil would extinguish it. And I wouldn't even hear about it. Because he knew he was stepping over nickels to pick up dollars because old Eric is there stirring the fucking pot every single day, hour after hour, and ratings go tick, 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 way up here. And Phil has this money machine, and he's printing money every single day. Well, company gets sold to Clown Square, and they hire this guy who's complete deer in the headlights. I mean, no idea what he's doing whatsoever. And he gets hammered by a businessman because something old Eric says. And he throws his hands in the air. He panics. The end of the world. Holy shit. What am I going to do? And like informs everybody up the corporate ladder that Eric fucked up again. And next thing you know, gone. No ability to navigate rocky waters. So yes, it was me, but it was also them who got me fired. It was not Joel. I reached out to Joel. In fact, I had Joel on my old show on BBL. Ah, the glory days of BBL. And we ironed all this out. This is old news at this point. So anybody who still thinks that, you know, Joel caused the end of the Free Beer and Hot Wing show, it's not true. It has nothing to do with it. I picked on Joel, made fun of Joel. Joel was, hey, what the fuck? And then, you know, the boss flipped out and couldn't really hang with that. And then that was it. He said, I'm sick and tired. I remember the line. I am sick and tired of having to defend you. It's like, well, fucking quit being sick and tired of having to defend me. Who gives a shit, man? It was slap my hand, pay my hand. Somebody suggested I say that. A slap my hand, pay my hand. Oh, hey, great job on the 30 share. You did awesome. Oh, you're suspended for calling somebody a dickhead. Fuck that. All right. So anyway, that's the history of Joel. I announced that Joel, who's running for that seat in the 3rd District of Michigan as a Republican, he just came out. Now, Joel's a pretty buttoned-up dude, and he announced that he's running, that he is the Trump guy. He is making, he is not dodging that in any way. He is saying, I am a Trump guy. And he said that, I played you the press conference, we cannot replace a never Trump with another never Trump. So that's his big platform. He is going right for Trump supporters. He's even calling his campaign, he's saying, make the Congress great again. He's totally like Trumping out on this thing. So I booked an interview with Joel. He's going to be here on Monday. Now, I don't give a shit what any of these particular candidates say. I have yet to decide. Well, no, I do give a shit. I want to hear what they have to say. But I haven't decided one way or another which one to support, if I'll even make that public or not. I don't know. And it doesn't matter what I think. Let me just say my stance politically. This is how I feel about politics. To me, I absorb the information, and then I think to myself what I want. And if I share that with anyone, I might share it with my family if we get into a discussion about politics. I won't ever... And I'll never betray this. I will never look you in the face and say you should vote for what I believe in. I would never try to convince you of that. I'll make jokes. I'll make opinions that are my own. But I'll never, ever, ever try to. I respect your opinion that much that I would never do that. That's a personal thing. If you choose to scream it from the mountaintop, you go right ahead. Don't hold it against me, and I won't hold it against you as to what you believe in. I would never, ever dismiss your point of view and shame you in any way, like some people like to do online. Like Stu McAllister, he reached out to me yesterday. He goes, hey, Eric, I just heard a podcast, and you're talking about your pro-life and your pro-gun and your pro-small business. He says to me, we are 100% opposite. I'm like, I don't care. What are you telling me this for? What does that change? Does that change anything? Does that change how you feel about me? If that does, if you change your opinion about me based on what I believe in on my own moral compass, that is so fucked up. You can't do that, especially when it comes to politics. You have to take me for what I'm worth when it comes to talking to you right now about things that we discuss. Okay. If I make you happy, I just spit everywhere. That was bad. And you can relate to what I say. That's what I want you to judge me by. Judge me by the things I say in that regard and the things I do when I'm out in public, when you see me, when you interact with me. So I posted that Joel is coming on the show. And I got a lot of comments. I'd like to read them to you on Facebook. The lovely Allison writes, love that smile. She's referring to a picture of Joel and I. And I wrote, I love this comment the most. Allison wrote, Eric Zane, my future husband, LMAO, only if Diana would approve in her past life. Okay. She is an absolute doll face. She said, you look very happy. I'm so glad you have a lot to smile about. That was a very nice exchange. John writes, awesome. Great job. Stu, I actually live in that district. Tell him I'm offering my vote to the highest bidder. Hashtag America. Tara, who's a valued commenter, writes, I have an interview question. I live in the 3rd District. I in no way, shape, or form support the Trump administration. Tell me why I should vote for Joel Langlois. I guess she's asking me that. How is a vote for him different than a vote for Trump? I'm being serious. I don't think it is any different. I think if you vote for Joel, you are voting for Trump. You probably shouldn't vote for Joel. And I wrote, I'll ask him. However, I'm sure he'd say you probably shouldn't vote for me. Jeremy writes, hey, Tara, his campaign slogan is make Congress great again. Jeremy continues, he'll be a lapdog for crooked Donnie and look the other way while Donnie tramples the Constitution. Holy shit. Tara responds, I figure as much. But given the district I live in, sometimes I vote differently in the primary than in the general election. Oh, she's woke. I'm interested in hearing from all the candidates because even if my candidate does not win, I want the best possible alternative. Anything associated with Trump DeVos is not for me, Tara says. All right. Quinn writes, Tara Allen. He is very crony indeed. Have you considered Amash? Tara says, Quinn works as a Republican. Amash likely would have had my vote in the primary as part of another party. It is very unlikely I'd vote for him. I respect his decisions as I believe they are informed and nonpartisan, but I don't agree most of the time. Marcy says, never heard of him, so I'm interested to learn, and that's why I'm doing this. Walt says, can't wait to hear it. Nick says, ask him about the Delta Plexo. We will. Dan says, better keep his pants out of it. He's referencing me, making fun of his dungarees. Cody doesn't know, says, what do you know about his pants? Dan says, it's a long story. Brian says, let's hope his campaign works better than his shot clock. Okay. Ryan says, too soon. Stu says, we know the clock doesn't know a thing about time. Travis says, after he played a key role in getting you fired, I hope you roast the guy like he did you. Come on, man. That was like ancient history. That is ancient history. Let's see. Everybody made fun of me because of the typo. Ooh, Kent. Kent was on here. Okay, Kent wrote, ask him if he plans to run the country like he runs that dump of a building he owns. Jonathan says he supports Trump over the Constitution. Hard pass. Tara says, your goal is to interview every what? LOL. Every candidate. Kent follows up with, cannot wait for Justin Amash to wipe the floor with this Yahoo. Meme of girl taking a drink and laughing hysterically. Isn't this the guy, Tim Wrights, who made fun of you before getting kicked off Freeburn Hot Wings? Kenny from Nashville says, yeah. Yes, it is. He died. Derek says, tell him thanks for the bullshit that led to ultimately ruining FBHW. Derek continues with, show fucking sucks now. All right. Matter of opinion, I'm sure. Let's see. Rob says, Derek, Town Square was the one who fucked all the listeners and Eric, not Joel. They wanted Eric gone before the shot clock bullshit. That is true. Drew says, screw that guy. Joe Morrell says, is he a Nazi like a lot of Republicans out there? Aha. We shall see. I also reached out to Peter Meyer. Actually, it was funny because I had sent him a DM earlier in the day, did not hear back. The second, about 3 minutes after I posted that Joel would be on the show, I heard from Mr. Meyer. His grandpa is the one and only Fred Meyer, who started the stores that we all love, for crying out loud. Well, Peter went on, and he's retired military. I think he's retired. I think he served in the Afghanistan war and the Iraq war, combat veteran, and is now in politics. So here he goes. He has thrown his hat into the mix. I talked with him on the phone last night. Very nice young man. And he's going to be right here in the studio with me. So I got I got five Republicans, three Dems, and Justin, who's an independent. That's nine. That means in 1 hour's work yesterday, I confirmed interviews with two of the nine. And they better all be in here, because I would hate to be the one that says, fuck that, I'm not going on his show. I think Justin will be the tough one, because I think that there would actually have to be like Secret Service here, and there's a logistic issue. And, you know, he might think that I'm an adversary, which I'm not. Anything I've ever said about Justin, it's been in jest. I would love to get him in here to hear what he has to say about this. But for me to be able to have two of these nine candidates, I feel very, very blessed about that. And that's what I love about podcasting, is you don't have to give a shit about this. You can just fast forward or not even download the one, because I'm going to have them as separate podcasts. You don't have to listen to them if you don't want to.
How many times have I told you? Can you tell that it's the end of the night? My energy is way different at 9:40 at night than it is when we start in the morning. You know, I would never listen to this. I'm an asshole. Listen to me. Your furnace is about to die, and it's going to explode, and carbon monoxide is going to fill your home, and your children will be dead, and your wife and your dogs. And it's all your fault. You did this because you did not get your furnace. You did not get your furnace tuned up from A&E Heating and Cooling. You're such an asshole. Their deaths are all your fault. You did this. You have no one to blame but you. You see, if you had called Joe Martinez, many things would have happened. First of all, he would have walked in. Your wife would have taken one look at him, the Latino lover, and her nips would have gotten rock hard. And then there would have been a bit of a moisture buildup in a private area. And then while you were having sex with your wife, because she's so horny from seeing Joe, he would then go tune up your furnace. Okay? So here's your options. Moist wife with hard nips, sex, tuned up furnace, or your whole family dead. You choose. 616-516-8579. Okay? See? Now, aren't you glad you stayed for that? Big Dick Donnie Veltman at FullHouseComedy.com. Okay. Shows resume December 2nd at the Park Theater. Ali Sadiq will be there. He'll also be at Rockford Lanes December 3rd and then Back Alley Comedy Club December 4th. Carlos Mencia, December 9th at the Park Theater. And Billy's Lounge on December 10th. Mencia looks good. Has he lost a ton of weight? Hold on a second here. Yeah, I think he is. He looks like totally different. Wow. But that was like forever ago. Is he still, it seems, you remember the whole deal with Joe Rogan? Joe Rogan, I think, was mad at him and accused him of stealing jokes and called him out on stage. It was a real shit show. Oh, my God. Well, anyway, Carlos is a nice guy, I'm sure. Go see him. FullHouseComedy.com.
Michael Winslow rescheduled for January 6th and January 7th. Finesse Mitchell. All right. Some fantastic comedians. April Macy is the second prettiest redhead I have ever seen in my entire life. Oh, my God. What a babe. Vic DiBattista. Is that that guy that does all those viral videos when he screams at you? I think he's coming too. TK Kirkland. Hal Sparks. That's John's, Stuttering John's buddy. All right. Pauly Shore. Oh boy. I don't know about that. That's not for like a year. Okay. Anyway, go to fullhousecomedy.com. Last but not least on this beautiful Thanksgiving is Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid, Andy V. Love them so much. First of all, go to their Facebook page. If you know of a charity that could use $1,000 for the holidays, go to facebook.com/ERVINES and follow the post. It's right there at the top. Okay. But, you know, here we go. If there's anything that goes wrong with the car and you're in West Michigan, please remember Irvine's Auto Repair. Grand Rapids Hybrid, 616-532-6600. Longtime sponsor of this show. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Wow. Well, I am going to do this again. I actually love just kind of rambling on like this. Almost like hosting my own, not necessarily anything worth listening to show. Happy Thanksgiving. And arrivederci. Friday, we'll do it again here. The same style, I guess. What? Okay. Bye-bye.